your context of your life story. So, Adie, you're gonna start.
Okay. My name is Adie, and I'm a psychology major at Trinity Western University with a concentration in international development. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my life and how I've become who I am today. My life is a little bit out of the ordinary. I was born in Harrison, Arkansas, to parents in full-time ministry. My dad pastored in Arkansas and Minnesota for 10 years, and then we moved to Moscow, Russia for 9 years as missionaries. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I attended a missionary school called Hinkson Christian Academy in Moscow, Russia. As a child, I lived a very independent life in a foreign setting. I had great friends and the freedom of public transportation to go anywhere in a city of 11 million people. This wide-open world seemed at first quite exciting, but as I grew older, I began to realize the hardships in the world, and specifically in Russia. Russia was my home, but it also became a place of my worst fears. We lived in Moscow during a time frame when there was a great deal of terrorism stemming from the Chechen War. I experienced much trauma as a result, and this caused incredible anxiety and uncertainties in my life. I could not understand why a compassionate God would allow such horrible things to happen. In my early teen years, I put up a wall between myself and God and became rather angry with him. I searched for happiness in many destructive areas, and which never brought satisfaction and led me further away from my loving Father. Slowly, God began seeking me to draw me back to himself. Through his grace in my life, the anxiety and hurt began to dissolve, yet still there was something missing inside. In 2005, my family moved to Austin, Texas, away from my Russian homeland, which was pretty devastating to me. Even though Russia was a place of fear, it was also a place that I dearly loved. Within the first months, a close friend from Russia appeared at my door for a surprise visit, which was actually quite a divine appointment. My friend April helped me understand that God loved me and that real lasting hope comes from him alone. He is the only one who can offer peace and assurance for the future. That night, I recommitted my life to Christ for the first time since I accepted him as Savior at the age of 5. I remember feeling so happy. God was with me and had watched over me all of these years. Despite all of my mistakes and failings, he was ever willing to forgive me and to give me a second chance through his unconditional love. As I understood just how much he loved me, a peace and comfort came over me through the Holy Spirit that forever changed me. It took deep trials to make me realize how much I needed Christ in my life. After high school, I went to Sudan on a mission trip. It was a mind-opening experience as I saw courage and faith like never before. The hope and determination of the Sudanese believers to live life with joy in the worst of circumstances was an inspiration for me. Again, as in Russia, I saw hardships, but with God on my side, I also saw the spiritual reality and purpose of them. Sudan was where I was exposed to hope and to the realm of international development and trauma crisis counseling as a possibility for my life. So I started to attend Trinity Western University in the fall of 2008, and I'm so blessed to be a part of such a fantastic community. My college friends have certainly made Trinity home for me. University has caused me to question life, think about the future, and consider God's will for my life. Through all of this, I have come to the realization that God is truly everything to me. He has filled my heart with amazing joy and has brought the most miraculous healing to my life. I have learned that God is always forgiving and keeps giving grace, even when it seems that we have exhausted it. So life can be hard, but God makes every challenge worthwhile. So today I'm very excited to get baptized at Jericho Ridge, and my baptism is my opportunity to proclaim my love and obedience to God, and is a public declaration that I want to follow his will for my life.
Right on. Well, we'll have opportunity to respond together when we're down at the river. And so if you have things that you're thinking about or a scripture verse that comes to mind, either as Adie or Camille reads their story, then just make a note of that, and then we'll share that with them. We also have some letters of affirmation for you both, which we'll read down at the river from both of your sets of family. So, Camille, why don't you share your story with us?
Okay. I'm Camille, and I'm really terrified of public speaking, so I'm sorry.
It's all right. No worries.
I go to Trinity Western, and I'm a third year. I'm majoring in international studies and earning an additional concentration in linguistics. And this is just a little bit of my story and how I got to the place where I am today. So I'm from the Portland, Oregon area of the States, where I grew up with two parents and one sister. I was raised in a Christian home, and I did invite Jesus into my heart when I was really little. But I would definitely say that I have never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ before. I've lived my life really independently, if not self-centrically, for as long as I can remember. My identity was based solely on academic and athletic fulfillment. Being a staunch type A personality, perfection has always been something that I've sought after. But, you know, like not even an above 4-point GPA or being the best runner on my team could give me ongoing happiness and contentment. Circumstances and certain outcomes beyond my control have deeply affected my life for a long time toward the negative. And I guess as I got older, the more I tried to suppress my pain, the more it seemed to consume me. So I grew angrier and angrier with God until there just came a point when I shunned him altogether. And for whatever reason, I also began working double time to compensate for what I considered to be my flaws. And I had this distorted view that while I couldn't change or control some aspects of myself, I could definitely make sure others were perfect. After graduating high school in 2007, I came up here to go to school at Trinity, and my life stabilized sort of to the point of cruise control. I did make amends with God and began reading my Bible sporadically, but I also began to unconsciously form this deistic view of him almost, especially when it came to the most painful parts of my life. I knew I didn't want to be angry with him anymore, so I just chose to separate him from my hurt and my most honest thoughts and emotions. But then this past school year happened and just turned my world completely upside down, and there have been about 3 specific instances that have really just started this real hunger for Christ. And number one, last week in September, I went home to Portland for a concert, and it was then that I learned that my mother had cancer, and suddenly faced like with the all too real possibility of someone so close to me dying, I began entertaining these thoughts of death and afterlife, not in a suicidal way, but just heaven and hell and meeting God. And I realized that I knew so little about this God that my mother loved so much, and for all we knew, could be meeting really soon. And this idea just struck me square over the head, you know? And the second instance that happened was around this time when I got back. I had this assignment due. I was supposed to write my sociolinguistic repertoire, which actually I misunderstood the assignment, but that's okay, because if I had gotten it right, then it wouldn't have meant as much. But yeah, I wrote about like the many aspects that comprise me. And so, of course, this begs the question, like, who am I? What am I? What do I believe in? What do I stand for? And, you know, it was then that I also realized that I know so little about myself. And it was just a really big wake-up call to take a step back and really look at my life and who I am. And then the third instance that really turned something inside of me, I think was without a doubt God ordained. I know that he really prepared, or he waited until my heart was ready to hear and accept like what I heard on October 28th. And I'll never forget that day, because I walked into my 9 a.m. political science class and I saw the word theodicy written on the blackboard. And I remember thinking, oh boy, because human suffering in light of God, gosh, that's a really, really touchy subject for me, and I almost always avert any form of discussion around that. But couldn't really avoid it that day, so into the topic we went. And the lecture was short, really short, but the message was really profound. And the words of my professor, they just kind of really hit me to the core. Like, I think many people, definitely myself included, we have this idea in our head, like, we know God loves us, right? But he doesn't know exactly the pain that we feel, like, you know, because he's not physically here with us. And he loves us, but he doesn't know. And I think after that class, the truth, it finally sunk in, you know, like, wrong, he does know. He knows exactly what we feel. He knows what I, Camille, feel. And like my professor said, like, Jesus had scars too, and he bore his willingly. And this just, like, I mean, I'd heard it before in some form or another, but it just, in that moment, I guess, or a little while after, it just changed everything that I'd been holding on to up until that point. And, it took a few months to sink in, but I can tell that I've reached this place or this point in my life now where I can say that I love my God with my whole heart and my whole mind and all of my soul and all of my strength. So, I'm getting baptized today because my faith is more important and real and alive than it's ever been before. And I want to take the step of obedience to God and further signify walking with him.
So. Right on. Let's respond. Yeah. Good work. We really appreciate the courage that you both have to share those aspects of your life with us. And one thing we want to do is just respond to that. I want to invite anyone who'd like to come up and pray as we receive people into our covenant community here through baptism. We invite people to come and lay hands on them and bless and affirm them in prayer. So if you want to come up and lay your hands on Adi and on Camille, then come up and do that at this point, and we'll pray for them. And we'll speak God's blessing into their lives. Yeah. All right, you guys might need to scooch up a little bit closer here. Yeah. There we are. All right. Perfect. There we are. All right, Keith, can I pass that back to you for leading us in a time of prayer? Thanks.
Lord, we want to thank you for our sisters in Christ. We thank you for Addie. We thank you for Camille, Lord, and the commitment that they're making to you. Lord, we thank you so much for the power of their story and how you've loved them their entire life, God, and how you continue to put things in their path that pointed to you. And Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of your Spirit in directing them, and Lord, just for opening up their eyes to see you completely. And so, Lord, we ask that they would run with abandon to you, and that you would just multiply the joy and enthusiasm that they have for you, and that their story and their testimony would greatly impact those around them. So, Lord, we thank you, and we ask that you would just continue to use their gifts to bring about your kingdom. We pray these things in your holy name, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for sharing that with us, and thank you everyone to standing in support with them. Just a reminder that if you want to join us down at the river, there are maps at the Welcome Center. We'll be at the Marpole Picnic Shelter, which is just off of 208th and Allard Crescent. And then Kevin and Diane Friesen have graciously opened up their home to us following that, and we appreciate that for the prevention of hypothermia, Kevin and Diane. We value that. So they're going to open their home. There's a huge pot of soup on there. And so if you want to join us for lunch, just pick up a map at the Welcome Center and let us know so that we know that we have enough food for everyone. And we would love to have you join us down at the river and then back at Kevin and Diane's following that. So Jared's going to, and the team are going to continue to lead us in a reflective time of worship and song in advance of our teaching time this morning. So Jared.
Adi and Camille, thanks so much for sharing your story. It's uniting to hear the common experience and there are unique and uncommon bits in each of our stories. But to hear that and to recognize that it's the same God with the same love and compassion that draws us to Him is just very encouraging. And so we're gonna sing a few songs of acknowledgement and asking for God to wrap His big loving arms around us and to welcome us into His place of peace and warmth. So let's sing together. Feel free to stand if you wish. You may remain seated as well. Rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Rest my soul in Christ alone. Know His power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you.
Will come. Let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well, my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Sing that as a prayer and as an aspiration, as the desire of our hearts. And we acknowledge and recognize that in many parts of our world, in many parts of our lives, just things are not well. They need adjustment. They need your presence and your power to fill and to change and to renew and to restore and to redeem. And so, God, we come humbly to you in this place today and ask that for ourselves and for our community and for our world as well, that you would just stir up in us a deeper desire to know and